You on there? See my screen? Hey Spencer, good afternoon.
Hey there, can you hear me?
Yep, you want to test your mic real quick? Go ahead.
Yep. Okay. You can hear me?
All right, I'm gonna put you back on mute until we're ready to turn it over, okay?
Okay, perfect, thanks.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. All right, it's 3 o'clock, 3:01, so we'll go ahead and dive in here, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Good afternoon and welcome to the sixth webinar for our Virtual Health Network Initiative. My name is Randy Scheid, and I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for Quantum Foundation. Before we begin today, we just got a couple housekeeping items. All participants will be on mute, so if you have a question, just raise your hand. And also, webinar will be recorded and will be made available afterwards. If you like, just let me know. And we're also going to have Q&A at the end, so we'll have time for questions towards the end of the webinar, okay? All right, so just a quick introduction here of who we are. You see myself over there on the left. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer. Today I've got Anil Irfan with me from Virtual Health Strategies. His organization helps healthcare providers develop virtual health programs by conducting needs assessments, optimizing workflows, completing organizational readiness assessments, and assisting in selecting technology solutions. Quantum has been working with Anil on various projects about 3 years now. He's really the thought leader and content expert for us in this effort. And we also have Sijon Armstead, who is our program officer, who also assists with this initiative. So we have a number of new participants on the webinar today. Welcome to the first-time listeners. We're glad you joined us. For those of us who have been on a couple previous webinars, just please bear with me while I provide a little bit of background and context for the new participants. So just quickly, what is Quantum Foundation? Quantum is a wholly independent private foundation with our own governing board. We don't fundraise, but we serve to make grants in Palm Beach County to support organizations that are improving the health of our county. And we were formed from the sale of JFK Hospital back in 1995 here in Palm Beach County. Our mission is to inspire and fund initiatives that improve the health of our communities. Our impact areas include better engagement, greater access, and stronger connections. So as you all know, in terms of the landscape of healthcare, access to care remains challenging. Costs associated with healthcare services continue to soar. Access to behavioral health services, probably the most notable area of improvement that telehealth can address. And we also have a lack of professionals to meet the need, especially here in South Florida. But we see technology as a solution that can, it's rapidly evolving, but it offers many promising methods to improve the health of our community. And in instances like today, when we overlay technology onto the existing resource network of providers, facilities, agencies, and nonprofits, and in existing businesses, we see a lot of opportunities. So one of the key questions that we asked ourselves when we started this network was, how do we leverage advancements in healthcare technology and technology in general, not just healthcare technology, technology in general, to improve the health of uninsured and underinsured individuals in Palm Beach County? And today's webinar really has relevancy outside of the acute care and the healthcare sector, especially for nonprofit agencies that may be dealing with or helping folks in some capacity. Transportation is obviously an issue, and especially here in South Florida. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but this is a unique solution that we have with us today. So in order to answer that question, we said, well, let's establish a network. And this will serve as a forum to promote the adoption, sustainability, and utilization of virtual healthcare technologies, especially here locally in Palm Beach County, where we work primarily, but could be relevant obviously across South Florida and even the state of Florida. So this is just real quick. This is not a physical network. As you know, the webinars are free. We just serve as a neutral convener for this network. And one of the things that we are doing through this is inviting ideas and proposals for partnerships that will improve the health of Palm Beach County residents using technology. All right, so now we'll transition into the gist of today's webinar. And anecdotally, we've all heard about the transportation challenges here in South Florida, especially in Palm Beach County. And past few webinars have focused specifically on technology that's really looking specifically at improving the delivery of healthcare. But today's webinar is a little more unique. We're going to highlight a unique technology solution that's offered by an internationally recognized transportation provider, which is essentially a transportation solution. But real quick, I wanted to give you some context about transportation in South Florida. Now, those of us that have been here long enough know, certainly have a lot of things to say about this topic. So I thought I'd try to find some stats. And a couple quick points jumped out. Public transportation is generally cheaper in the long run than buying a vehicle and paying for its upkeep and gas costs. It also has drastically lower odds of an accident than driving a personal vehicle and helps to cut down pollution from emissions. But obviously not all cities have the same quality of public transportation. In fact, there was a study from a few years ago from a company called Wallet Hub that ranked the quality of public transportation in 100 areas across the U.S. Surprisingly or not surprisingly, South Florida ranked in the middle of the pack in terms of transportation. They looked at a number of metrics, and Miami was actually the highest ranked city in Florida, and they were ranked 52nd. So, right in the middle. But when you start reading down the list, you start seeing some other areas in Florida jump out. Orlando was 56th. Jacksonville was 61st. Tampa was, I believe they were tied with Cleveland for 98th. And I think anyone who's driven through any of those areas lately would probably tell you that transportation is not easy, especially if you're just driving your own car. So. One other interesting note on another metric that looks specifically at Miami, they are looking at the cost of transportation. And Miami actually ranked 93rd on the highest annual ticket price for public transportation as a percentage of median annual household income. So a lot of different options they have in Miami, more so than Palm Beach County for sure, definitely more than Broward. But even with that, it was expensive when you compare it to the median annual household income. And certainly anecdotally, we hear all the time about the lack of access to transportation consistently ranks as a top concern, not only in the healthcare sector and for health providers, but for nonprofit agencies in general. So certainly there's got to be a better way. Which brings us to Mr. Spencer Q. And this is the reason for our speaker today. And I'm going to be managing the soundboard here, so bear with me while I am going to unmute Spencer here right after I read a little bit of introduction to Spencer. Spencer came to us a few months ago to talk about an effective solution to an age-old problem. Spencer started Uber 3 years ago and had the opportunity to join the Uber Health team in its infancy 2 years ago as their first account executive. Uber Health launched publicly in March 2018, and over 1,000 organizations now use Uber Health every week to provide transportation for their patients. He now leads Uber's partnerships with providers and those in the clinical space. We are very grateful for Spencer's time today and his willingness to join us and talk a little bit more about Uber Health. All right, so Spencer, I'm going to try to turn it over to you here. I'm going to share your screen here, so you should be able to come through. Let's see if this works.
Perfect.
We can hear you.
Okay. How about that? Good?
Let me check with Anil. I can see your screen. How do you see it, Anil? Is it good? Looks like we're good. Okay, awesome. Great. Take it away.
Perfect. So, let's see. Sorry. Okay. So, I will go ahead and present here. Likewise, appreciate all the time from everybody on the call as well, and thank you for the context and introduction there. We have a saying here at Uber Health: care begins with getting there, right? And transportation is obviously a barrier to care, and that care is only as good as that person showing up. quick intro, and you know, you already covered most of this. I promise this is the last slide that will have my face on it. You know, it's been a fun ride, right? And I started at Uber, 3 years ago, and a lot of people, a couple years ago, upon sort of starting our work in the healthcare space, were asking us what the heck we were doing in healthcare, right? And Uber's taking a millennial to a bar on a Friday night, not anything more than that. And certainly, you know, the dialogue has changed a lot, right? There's a lot that we can and are doing in the space that goes well beyond, taking a millennial to a bar, though we still may do that as well. And so, you know, want to run you through an overview of Uber, our efforts with Uber Health, and then actually do a live demo of the Uber Health service and product itself to give you a sense of what that looks like. And so Uber in general, 10,000 rides are happening in any given minute. We do 17 million rides a day. We are a very, very different tech company, right? I live and work in San Francisco. I talk to people who work at Facebook and Google, et cetera. We're very different, right? This is very, very real world. This is more than just software. And yes, there's a lot that we're improving with that software. But at the end of the day, you know, we're connecting 34 million people at least in any given day between the driver and the rider and potentially others, right? And so while that's all happening at the same time in the U.S., transportation is a huge barrier to care, right? 3.6 million Americans every year miss or late to their appointment because of a transportation issue. And if you think about the folks that are hit hardest by that barrier to care, it's not our typical Uber user, right? It's not a city-dwelling millennial, going to that bar on a Saturday. This is a very different population. And so we really, recognize that and think about that, not only with how we built the product out, but as we continue to iterate and build new features and new service lines, we recognize the population that we're really serving, with this. So we've got 17 million rides happening every day. In the US, we've got about 1 million driver partners, and we see this problem that we have here. We're obviously in a unique position to help, combat these transportation barriers, but how do we really go about that? And so you think about some of the advantages that Uber has compared to what are sort of the legacy, non-emergency medical transportation type solutions. Could be something like taxi, could be something else. But from a supply perspective, we're tapping into that vast network that we have with Uber, alongside Uber Health, right? So anywhere in the US that Uber operates, Uber Health can also be used, given that we are leveraging those same driver partners across the country. And you have the same level of visibility to know, exactly how far away the nearest available driver is in any given moment in time, and have the comfort that there is somebody there in that market to fulfill that need. And from a transparency perspective, think about using Uber as a consumer. You obviously, you order that ride, you know who your driver is, how far away they are, what kind of vehicle it is. And you get all of that same insight on the Uber Health side as well, right? So you know someone's coming to pick you up, you know exactly where they are, how far away they are. You're not, necessarily sitting there waiting for a taxi that may or may not show up, and you really have no idea when. And then from a reporting perspective, everything is tracked automatically, right? You're not handing out a taxi voucher that is paper and pen and difficult to track. Everything is tracked automatically to help limit fraud, waste, abuse, et cetera. And so Uber Health, like I said, it certainly, when we thought about the problem and how Uber could help, make an impact here, it wasn't going to be with the regular Uber app. While that app is great, it really is only meant to order a ride for yourself. And as I mentioned before, those folks who are hit hardest by that transportation barrier may not have an Uber account, may not have a smartphone, right? Are not our typical users. And we thought that a couple years ago, and we know it to be fact now, right? Like I said, we've got 1,000 organizations using us in any given week. We have lots of rides happening through Uber Health. We've seen that, bore out in the data on our end. 2/3 of riders that have a ride arranged for them through Uber Health, we know don't have an Uber account. And so, we thought that was the case. We thought that would be the case, and it definitely is. But that means we had to build something different, right? And something new to support this use case. And so at a very high level, how it works is we give the ability of arranging a ride to an organization, right? And very wide gamut of organizations and types of organizations that we work with in the US around healthcare. This can be a home care agency, this can be a hospital, this can be a clinic, this could potentially even be a health plan that's arranging this ride. But we give that ability to an organization. They arrange a ride for an individual. That person gets contacted with a text message, so they still know who their driver is, how far away they are, who's coming to pick them up in terms of vehicle, license plate, et cetera. And then from there, it's your regular Uber experience, right? So same driver partners, same vehicles, same reliability and accessibility and cost for that ride. And that, that individual gets in the back of that seat. And at that point, it's smooth sailing, just like a regular old Uber ride. And we've gotten great feedback. Like I said, there's a wide gamut of types of organizations that we work with. I think transportation is not a new barrier. This is certainly a new take and a new solution on how to combat that. And it's something that scales really well, is incredibly cost effective, and gives access to an on-demand ETA that really, didn't exist in the space, right? You think about ordering a taxi as a consumer. I know here in San Francisco, just a few years ago, depending on the neighborhood, they may not come at all, and it may take hours, right? And so bringing that same reliability and visibility and wait time to healthcare has made a big impact. So I want to dive in, and bear with me here just while I open up Uber Health and actually do a live demo of the product itself. So I mentioned it's different than the regular Uber app, right? And so Uber Health is a web-based solution, right? So you can see here I'm logging into our sort of test account, but any employee of any organization that has an Uber Health account created goes through the same process. Whenever they need to arrange a ride, rather than maybe historically picking up a phone and calling a taxi company and handing out a paper voucher, instead going to uberhealth.com and logging into that company account, right? And so as an organization, you can set up an account, you can have whoever and however many people as users underneath that account, to those folks who may be coming in here in a day in and day out basis and actually coordinating these rides for folks, as well as potentially managing the program in general. And so this website, some of the nice things about this one, there's no implementation work needed, right? This is something where you can sign up and have it up and running in less than a week. It's something that you can access on any device. So most folks do ultimately access this on a computer, but it is optimized for phone and tablet as well if you needed to access this on the go. And so I'll go ahead and dive in. If you're familiar with the regular Uber app, this isn't world-changingly different, but it is, meaningfully different in a few ways. And the other thing I'll say to sort of behind the scenes, behind all this is, I've certainly seen quite an evolution of the team that supports all this. So yes, great, we've got a product that makes this, this idea and this process easier to manage and easier to execute. But we also have a very large team here, a few dozen folks now, committed to Uber Health and working with healthcare organizations around these different use cases. Everything from myself, our business team here in San Francisco, our engineering team in New York, our support team in Phoenix, all dedicated specifically to Uber Health, as well as our legal, regulatory, compliance folks that we work with, as well as we continue to work with more folks in the space. So behind the scenes, a lot of effort. And the other thing that you don't see here is how we treat the data and how we think about Uber Health. So we may be taking in patient name, phone number, potentially their home address if they're either getting picked up or dropped off there. And we treat that as potentially being PHI, right? So that had vast consequences for how we built out this product and how we built out the infrastructure within Uber, which was no small task to build a HIPAA compliant infrastructure within such a large company. And that's where a lot of the resources went to build out this product, right? So just some of the things you don't see behind the scenes that, that ultimately support, you know, this, this product and this dashboard as well. And so, you know, one of the core capabilities of this product is, okay, I have a, let's say I have a patient, who, is being discharged or, is leaving after their appointment and needs a ride home, but you know, doesn't have a way to get there, doesn't have anyone to pick them up. So arranging a new ride, like I said, is not super different from the regular Uber app, but obviously some more information requested here, right? So we ask for that person's name, that person's phone number. So I'll just put in my information here, and then the pickup and drop off of where that ride needs to happen. So just as a sample, in San Francisco here, you could put in the pickup and drop off. As soon as you've done that, you'll see the map here on the right update with a few pieces of information, right? So how far away is the nearest available driver from that pickup location right this second? How many miles is that trip as the crow flies? How many minutes would it be? And what time would that person be dropped off if I do order that ride right this second? Now, the other kind of options here is as far as requesting a ride goes, you know, most of our consumer rides happen on demand, right? And this is certainly how I personally use Uber, right? Where I'm not scheduling that ride ahead of time. I'm confident, you know, I certainly in San Francisco that there's always a driver available, and they're, you know, almost always under 5 minutes away, right? So I order that ride whenever I need it. And that's certainly an option here, right? And we do have organizations that almost exclusively use it that way. But you can also schedule these rides in advance, right? So if somebody has an appointment next week and they know they don't have a way to get to ultimately get there, you can certainly pick a day, pick a time for that trip and schedule it ahead of time. So you can see just that experience here, picking a day and time to schedule that ride. Now there is a third option, which is what we call a flexible ride. And really this was built, if you think about somebody has an appointment tomorrow at 9 a.m., great, okay, I'll get a ride for them to get picked up at 8:15 and they'll be here probably a few minutes early, let's say, depending on how far away they live. What time is their appointment going to be done? Who knows, right? Much, much harder to tell exactly when they're going to need that ride home. And so with a flexible request, what that allows for is the rider themselves can actually respond to a text message sent by Uber to tell Uber that they're ready to be picked up, right? So rather than scheduling a ride for tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and that's when the Uber driver is going to show up and they're going to wait for at least 5 minutes. And if that rider doesn't show up, they're going to cancel and try to find a ride somewhere else. Instead, it's, hey, you know, Randy needs a ride tomorrow. Let's let him tell Uber when he's ready to be picked up, and then we can send the driver. So just an option. It all happens via text message, right? That person doesn't have to have the Uber app, doesn't have to have a smartphone. If they can respond to a text, they can facilitate a flexible request. So I'll go ahead and throw a real on-demand trip request out there just to give you an experience, give you that sort of active ride experience and what that looks like. A couple last things as part of this ride request, right? So we're still in the same request flow here. There are a couple additional options. So one is note to driver and the other is memo. And so note to driver allows you to add additional pickup instructions, right? So if somebody lives, let's say in a gated community, for example, and there's additional instructions that need to be given to facilitate that pickup, that's what you can use this field here for. That goes straight to the driver's Uber driver app, and they'll see that as part of that request once they accept that and they're on the way to pick that person up. The other one is an internal memo, right? So an internal note, really used more for reporting. If you need to track anything internally on a per ride basis, you can fill that out here. That will flow through to the reporting after the fact, and we'll take a look more specifically at what that reporting looks like in a bit. All right, so I'm going to make this request now. At this point, you know, imagine ordering an Uber ride on your app on your phone. It's pinging the nearest available driver. As soon as they accept, we'll see their information here. At the same time, I'm getting a text message on my phone letting me know that a care organization, which is just the name of our test account here, has arranged a ride, arranged an Uber for me. And it's also going to tell me, one, who my driver is, and two, how far away they are, right? And so I can see I've got Shiva in a white Toyota Prius coming to pick me up downtown San Francisco. I mentioned the drivers are off to nearby. You can see 1 minute away, right? So very, very close here. You can pull open the map as the organization to see, you know, exactly where that driver is as they're on the way to pick that person up. You can see their name, the type of vehicle, the name, et cetera. Star rating, right? License plate, all that information is also sent in a text message to the rider, right? So I can also see all that. I'm going to go ahead and cancel because Shiva is a real Uber driver coming to pick me up in San Francisco right now. Don't want to waste too much of his time, but you can see that sort of experience, right? And you can certainly have, you know, more than one active ride going on at once. If that, you know, had, if that ride had gone through and I had actually been picked up there, you would still be able to track that as well, right? So that active trip is active all the way until that person's dropped off. And if you ever need to come in here and get a quick spot check of where that person is, how far away they are on that journey to being dropped off, you know, you've got full visibility here in real time to see all that. And once these rides are over, they get sent to your past rides section, right? So I mentioned everything is tracked automatically. No more, you know, pen, paper, receipts, vouchers, et cetera. You can see we've got, you know, keep in mind this is our test account. So a lot of these are canceled, but you can come in here and see the details of any given trip, right? So here's the one I just ordered. If this ride had occurred, one, you'd see the cost of the trip here, which would line up with the cost that you saw up front, that upfront fare, just like you see on the consumer Uber app. And you would also see the exact breadcrumbs, if you will, of the streets that were taken and the exact pickup and drop off on this trip as well. Now there's a few actions that you can take in here as part of the past trips that you might utilize, right? And so one, if you need to book the same trip over again or the return trip, which will just flip the pickup and drop off, you can sort of one click do this. The nice piece about using this is it has all that information pre-filled, so you don't have to enter it again. So that's sort of, you know, one reason and one action you might take in here. The others are if you need to request support, right? And so I mentioned we do have a separate support team that sits in Phoenix, specifically dedicated to Uber Health, right? So a little bit different experience than that consumer Uber support experience where we've got 17 million trips happening around the world. And we've got a dedicated team for this. And this is also useful because there isn't the same feedback loop that we have on the consumer side, right? When you take an Uber ride, you get out, you can rate that driver 1 to 5 stars as they can you. That doesn't really exist with Uber Health, right? That rider probably, you know, doesn't necessarily have an Uber profile, so we don't rely on that feedback mechanism. If something happens that you think we need to know about, this is the quickest way to get in touch with our team. We can take the actions needed, you know, with potentially the driver partner, the rider, et cetera. And we'll know exactly what trip you're referring to and who that driver was if you use this button. And so you can always come in here and scroll through your trip history to take any of those few actions. But probably the most important piece here is you can actually download a spreadsheet file of these trips, right? So the way that Uber Health works from a billing perspective is we charge the organization on a monthly basis for the rides that are arranged, right? The cost of those rides are the same as they otherwise would be for any Uber user. There's no additional charge to have access to the Uber Health platform or monthly service or technology fee or anything like that. It really is just as simple as you pay for the rides that you arrange. On the first day of the month, so October 1st, for example, everybody's going to get a statement that says in the month of September, you spent X dollars on Uber rides through your Uber Health usage. Now, that statement is sent via email. It's purposefully quite plain. But what you can do is actually come in here and download a spreadsheet of a given date range to say, hey, I want to see all of the trips ordered on my account in the month of August and download that spreadsheet file. And what that will do is essentially give you, imagine it, trip by trip invoice of every ride that actually led up to that total monthly amount. All right. And there's probably more in here than is even needed, but everything, you know, there's a lot of details about these rides in here, exactly when the trip started and ended, whether it was scheduled or not, whether it was completed or canceled, the trip distance in minutes and miles, the rider's name, the rider's phone number, the name of the employee that actually arranged that ride within your organization. You can group them together. So if you need to filter or sort by different groups, you can do so. The pickup and drop off of where that ride took place, the cost of that ride, and then that internal note that we were looking at earlier as part of that ride request, if you do fill it out, again, flows through to the reporting here, right? So most people will come in and download that spreadsheet monthly, so they've got their matching trip invoice to go alongside that monthly statement. But that's mostly it, right? Not an overly complex product. There's no limit in terms of number of users that you can have on your account. Logins are all email and password based. There's sort of two levels of users. There's administrators and regular users. Both have access to the tool that we're looking at here. There is a separate admin portal that I'll quickly jump to here that, given the name, only administrators have access to. There's really only a couple of things that you would do in here. The main one is manage your users, right? So like I said, there's no limit of people that you can have give access to your account to arrange rides. But Jasmine, as an example, she's got her own password set up with her email that she can use to sign in. So we know if she ever orders a ride and that flows through to the reporting. If she leaves the organization and we need to make sure she no longer has access, really, really easy to come in here and delete her, right? And then her login no longer works, and that's the only action you need to take. The other thing that you can do in this admin portal is billing, right? So I mentioned you're charged monthly for the rides that are arranged. You can always track that balance in real time for the month so far. And you can see your statements here as well, right? So in any given month, how much was being spent, and you can re-download that statement if you need to, and control all your billing, editing or adding payment method as well. So when you think about Uber Health, obviously, certainly, a little bit different of an experience compared to the consumer Uber app. It's not an app, it's a web-based product. It can, again, be used or accessed on any device. So you can still access it on a phone. But this is a B2B tool, right, that organizations are leveraging to arrange rides for mostly for patients, but also for others as well, right? Whoever it makes sense to be arranging a ride for. We see a lot of home care agencies, for example, arranging rides for caregivers and aides to and from their appointments if they don't have transportation. And we're not super prescriptive about that, right? Ultimately, you can use this tool as you see fit and as it makes sense. And it's set up to dispatch a ride for whoever needs one. Not overly complex. You can order a new ride, track your active rides. You've got your past rides and your reporting to go alongside that. And thank you for the time. That's the live demo of the Uber Health dashboard. And time permitting here, I think we can jump to Q&A if that sounds good.
Yes, thanks, Spencer. That is a very comprehensive overview. We really appreciate that. Spencer, I actually have just a thought. After looking at the tool, one of the things I didn't really think about before was, I drive around here in South Florida and I see a lot of individuals sitting outside in bus stops, some of them with no shade and, 93 degree heat. And, you can only imagine if they're just coming from the doctor's office or somewhere else and, maybe just got some, maybe dealing with the diagnosis or, trying to bring a child along with them. So this is a pretty neat tool to almost alleviate some of the stress on the patient side as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we get a lot of feedback from organizations, people love it, right? And if you think back to your first Uber ride ever, and what an experience that was compared to what you'd been doing in the past, now people forget, right? We've been around long enough and you become so big that, the expectations are always growing and growing, and we've sort of changed consumer expectations in that regard. But if you've never used an Uber before, right, that first Uber experience is quite magical, right? And having a car
definitely
5 minutes on demand and getting in and being done, right? And just getting out of the car when you get there, nothing else needed. Clean experience. And, it's like I said, 2/3 of people we see don't have an Uber account. So it's great to extend that experience to more and more people.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to transition to some questions here from some of the audience participants, and I'm going to unmute Anil Irfan, who is going to help field some of these questions. So, Spencer, I'll leave you open so you can interact here, okay?
Perfect.
Go ahead, Anil.
Hello, Spencer, and everybody in here. Do you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. So we have a couple of great questions here in the chat box. Let me start with my question first. Spencer, many state Medicaid programs, you know, they provide transportation vouchers. How is Uber starting to work with some of the state Medicaid providers to be somewhat a transportation provider?
Yeah, it's a good question, and really, you know, an area where we're spending a lot of our time. Right, to your point, you know, transportation is obviously a required benefit in Medicaid, and it's a population that sees that transportation barrier, you know, probably the most. And you know, Uber, while we're a large public company now, you know, we're not too old, right? And if you think about the kind of the evolution of our company, you know, we're regulated at the state level, almost entirely across the board, right across the United States, as a transportation network company, which is this new idea that didn't exist right before Uber. And if you think about the regulations that govern the transportation providers under Medicaid programs, they're a lot older, right? And really didn't ever consider the idea of Uber ever existing or a transportation network company and what that may be. And so, you know, what we're seeing is there's a lot of appetite from states to include ride sharing and Uber as an option for Medicaid transportation because of everything that we just talked about, right? From a cost perspective, from a availability and reliability perspective, from a technology perspective to eliminate fraud and waste and abuse, right? And so there are, in a lot of states, some regulatory change that needs to happen. And so what our team does, and we've got sort of dedicated resources on the regulatory side, you know, we're working with a lot of states to advance that, right? And Florida is on the cutting edge here. They have actually passed legislation to include ride sharing as in the Medicaid program. And awesome. The way that actually rolls out is a little bit different than the dashboard experience that we're looking at here, right? Depending on the state, there are plans and transportation, you know, managers or brokers that often coordinate those rides. And so, you know, we're working with those transportation managers and brokers to make sure they have Uber as an option when it makes sense, right? Depending on the patient, maybe they need a higher level of service like an ambulance or a wheelchair accessible vehicle, but they can actually now tap into Uber as well. So you'll start to see more and more of that. There's a lot of good momentum from a regulatory side. And we expect to see more and more states starting to adopt that. Luckily, Florida is on the cutting edge there, and we're doing a lot of work to roll that out there.
Perfect. Thanks, Spencer. We got a lot of questions here, so Anil's going to try to get us through these.
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. So we have... Okay, yeah, so we have a great question here from Rosea Brooke. She says she's encountered clients who need both to initiate the ride, both to and the appointment, but run into the issue of client initiating the incorrect ride. How do we combat kind of patient-facing mistakes?
Yeah, so it's a good question. If, you know, if there are, you know, we touched on the flexible ride request that gives that rider the ability to tell Uber when they're ready. If they have two rides arranged on the same day, they'll have essentially two or more, I should say. They'll have different numbers for each one. So the experience goes, I arrange a flexible ride for someone. The message and prompt to them is reply one when you're ready to be picked up. For the second ride, it would be reply two, the third ride, reply three, et cetera. I think there's an opportunity in an area for us to clean that up a bit and make that even more simple and kind of foolproof. But just make sure you arrange the ride that needs to happen first. You arrange that one first. So that one's number one. And then the subsequent rides would be arranged after. And then they'll be number two.
Have another great question. Thank you for that, Spencer. This is a question here from Nate. how do people with disabilities able to use the service? For instance, someone in a wheelchair or elderly individual? Great question.
Great question. And we've got a couple things in the works there. I'd say they're relatively early days, right? And if you think about an UberX, which is most, you know, sort of that base Uber offering and four-door vehicle like a Toyota Prius or something else, that doesn't necessarily work for everyone, right? Some folks need higher levels of service. So a couple things that we're doing there. One, we do work with a lot of industry partners, right? So I mentioned those transportation managers. They often have relationships with wheelchair fleets and other transportation providers that have higher levels of service, right? So if you do need, you need a multitude of options, Uber being one and other things in there. And we have a lot of partners that offer those other transportation providers. And other things that we're doing within Uber, two that I'll reference. So one is called Uber Assist. The idea with Uber Assist is, can we take experienced, highly rated Uber drivers and allow them to opt into additional training so they know how to fold up a walker, fold up a wheelchair, help someone in and out of the car, essentially make it a door-to-door experience. So that is being actually rolled out later this year in pilot in a few markets, unfortunately not any in Florida. But the exciting thing with that is if we get that to a place that we feel strong about, we can actually, we can scale that very quickly, right? And because we are leveraging the existing driver base and vehicles that are out there, that's something that we could potentially scale, very quickly.
Wow. Next year.
And then on the wheelchair,
we
have a few cities in the U.S. today where we do offer that in partnership with other transportation providers. And you'll see that as an option if it is available.
That's awesome. So I have a question here with Mark Miller too. And I think this goes to some of my questions as well. It's how do you make money? I think it's the return on investment for healthcare organizations utilizing the service. I know you have some case studies that you can share later. What is the number one ROI you're seeing from healthcare organizations using your service?
Sure. So on the provider side, the number one ROI is reduction in no-shows, right? And you think about the cost of an Uber ride to get in is probably $10 or $15, same for the ride to get home versus revenue from services, accrued of that actual appointment. So for awesome. Most providers, that ROI or speeding up discharge and increasing patient throughput.
Okay. We have a great question here from Mona. What if any specific training do Uber Health drivers receive? For example, CPR, suicide prevention. What specific safeguards are you to ensure protection of PHI? I think you mentioned a little bit of that, but is there a plan to maybe provide Uber drivers with additional training as well?
Yeah, so I think Uber Assist is really the answer to some of that, right, in terms of specific population and what needs may go alongside that. With Uber Health, we are leveraging the existing same driver network as the consumer app. And the drivers don't know that something is a quote-unquote Uber Health trip or not, right? So part of that is patient privacy and information flow. But for the driver, it's business as usual. They don't know that that person didn't just order that ride themselves, right? So as far as HIPAA goes, a lot of that is the access controls and systems and servers that we have within Uber and who can access and see that information and how we store it. And then for the drivers, those trip requests are indistinguishable from any other typical Uber trip request.
Great. Question from Mark Miller. How do you become a transportation broker with Uber?
Yeah, so, right now we have a couple partnerships on the wheelchair accessible vehicle side that again are not specific to Uber Health, but are more broad. I would say otherwise, it's really more working through our partners, right? So, understanding who the transportation managers and brokers are in Florida and working with them so that if they have a ride that is that maybe isn't suitable for an Uber, they can send it to another transportation provider.
Awesome. Okay. We got another question from Maria Riviera. Rapid fire, Spencer.
I love it.
Any insights on Uber's preparedness to handle things like infection control, fall prevention, all things patient safety? Great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it goes back to the point of, you know, the appropriate patient population for this solution, right? And, you know, think about Uber, it's a curb to curb solution, somebody who's getting, you know, who's comfortable getting in a sort of taxi like environment, right, in that regard, getting in and out of the car. I think as we get to higher levels of service with our Uber Assist product and other things, you'll start to see, you know, more of an emphasis on that type of training with drivers. But on the sort of the regular Uber X, you know, side that's widely available today, it's making sure that, you know, as the healthcare professional, you one, understand, you know, what is being offered, and two, can make that designation to say, okay, patient A is a great use for the service, or patient B maybe needs something a little bit more, and this isn't the appropriate service for them at this time.
That's a great point, Spencer. I think it's important for the provider to understand his best fit for it, right? That's a great point there. So I got a question here from Anthony Bostic. How do we sign up to participate service? How does cost on Uber Health compare to the cost of a regular Uber?
Yeah, the best question so far. Now, so getting started is actually quite so, and you know, I think it takes, I would say it takes all of 5 minutes, maybe less, to get through this flow. But if you go to uberhealth.com, which I just did here, you can click this kind of green get started box, and this sends you into the enrollment flow to create that company level account, and quite easy, right? So you can do it, again, in less than 5 minutes. It takes a day or two for us to turn around. There's a couple of just approvals that we go through to set up that monthly bill and create that account and make it active. But you can get started that way. And then from a cost perspective, totally free to create the, you know, that company account. You never pay for anything until you order an actual ride. And the rides themselves are the same as they would be for a consumer using the Uber app, right? So we've seen it, you know, from some of our partners have saved 30 or 40% compared to taxi if they were using it before. And nothing additional for access to the Uber Health platform, right? So you just pay for the rides.
Awesome. All right, another great question here, Spencer. What have you learned? I mean, working on this solution, has it opened Uber eyes to any new future healthcare venture? I think you touched on it a little bit, but what have you learned, and what has Uber learned as they take this foray into care?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things we've learned is TTT, which one of our partners here in the Bay Area told us, which is things take time, right? And, you know, I think everybody sees healthcare as this industry that's ripe for disruption, and you're seeing a lot more emphasis placed on it in a lot of tech companies that are based out here. But it's, you know, it's a different area, and it's an area where you really have to meet people where they are. I'll tell you, you know, we work with a number of partners have told us their riders that they're ordering rides for don't even have a cell phone, right? And so we actually worked with them to create a one-page sheet where they can write down the driver's name, the type of vehicle, the color, and actually hand that to somebody in person, right? And when we tell that story within Uber, people look at us like we're crazy, but it's really about meeting people where they are. And I think, you know, we're continuing to iterate and develop more products in this space. And there's a lot more that we can do, right? So right now we're hyper-focused on moving people in the US, and that's really what this platform allows for. But that's not the only, you know, barrier to health or social determinant of health, right? You think about nutrition and food. We've got the largest food delivery platform in the world outside of China with Uber Eats, right? Are there opportunities for us to make an impact there? Or can we move potentially other things with those couriers that are on the platform? Prescription delivery, delivery of durable medical equipment, right? So there's a lot of opportunity out there, but it's about making sure that we invest and do it in the right way, like we've done with the moving people in the US with this platform.
Awesome, Spencer. Great answer. Things take time. We're loving that. The TTT, we're loving that. So we got a question from Mona Dutis. Can you prepay or put a limit on the company account?
Yes, good question. You cannot prepay today, but you do have a monthly limit. So we set a monthly sort of credit limit, if you will. You can actually see it in that admin portal on that billing section. So we can make that number whatever you want. If you did want to have a specific cap on there, like for example, this account is set to $3,000 as the monthly credit limit. And that way, once you exhausted that limit, it would not allow you to order any rides until you either made a payment or increased your credit limit.
Okay, terrific. And we have one more question here, and it's a great question from Anna Torrens Armstrong. She says, this service really can address some of the issues that impact health disparities and tackle the outputs like lack of transportation related to the social determinants of health. Have you considered how you might partner with research who work in this field, like public health, to identify ways to evaluate the outcomes in this regard? Transportation barriers is the big issue coming up in community health needs assessments, and we know lack of transportation to be a barrier assessing screenings, prevention, early intervention, which save lives and money. How can we track this and evaluate the impact?
Yeah, it's a great question. And something we're spending a good amount of time thinking about, and we actually just we have a new individual starting on our team whose sole focus is essentially exactly that, right? On pushing that to the next level from a research perspective. I think the point is very well taken, right? How do we ultimately tie this to outcomes and make sure that it's make sure that it really is making the impact that we think it is? Now, I will say, while we're working on that and driving towards that, you know, we're lucky that a number of our partners have done a lot of great work on that themselves. And so Boston Medical Center actually recently came out with a study that they did with one of their clinics. Prior to using Uber Health, the clinic overall no-show rate was 20%. They started using Uber Health. It was one of the clinics that had their highest no-show rates, which is why they did this there. And it actually brought the overall no-show rate down 7.5 percentage points to 12.5. And every single person that they arranged a ride for via Uber Health showed up for their appointment, right? They had a 0% no-show rate for those folks. So we've seen, you know, we're starting to see some of that from our partners, but certainly is a great question and something we're spending some time on is how do we drive that even further and tie it to outcomes?
Yeah, that's a great last question, and certainly helps in the policy arena too, Spencer, as you're trying to build this out and make folks aware of the effectiveness here. So we're gonna go ahead and just close things here. And Spencer, I think it's probably pretty easy to find you online, and easy for folks to go to Uber Health if they've got other questions and perhaps want to explore the option of signing up for the service. So with that, we're really appreciative of you making the time to spend with us today to talk about your solution. And everybody on the phone, we appreciate your time as well. And we appreciate you coming on to learn more about this today with us. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Everyone have a great afternoon and enjoy your Friday tomorrow, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you all.
All right, Spencer, thanks again. Bye-bye.